Okay, well, thanks for having me. I think, you know what? I think nothing happens, like everything happens for a reason, and the stomach flu and a little bit smaller numbers this semester, I don't know. Maybe we're supposed to have a small group for me to talk to today. So I'm actually kind of excited because I feel like a lot more intimate. So you can even interrupt me maybe, you know? Like there's only like what, 15 to 20 of us? So it's almost like a Bible study. So, but anyways, yes, thank you for having me today. So I started Mops Momco, when I have twin boys and they were 5 months old. And so that was definitely a certain phase of life for me. And now they are 9 and a half. And so I did do Momco last semester, but I think I had taken also like a 4-year break. So I did it for, I don't know, like 6 years, took a break and then was back last semester. But yeah, so today I want to talk about creating a culture of Christ in our homes. So I'm supposed to, I don't know what it says on the schedule. I'm supposed to talk about discipling your children, but I am a homeschool mom and I felt like creating a culture of Christ, it's an alliteration. I don't know, it sounded better. It sounded good. So that's what I chose. But anyways, as she mentioned, I am a marriage and family therapist. I have been doing that for, I think, 18 years now. And I actually went to seminary to get my degree. So I also have a certificate in theological studies. And I mentioned that because today, as I said, I'm talking about how do we disciple our children? How do we create a culture of Christ in our homes? And from all the years, right, I mean, again, I'm in my 40s now, so I've been doing this for a while. I've been a mom almost for a decade. And I have a secret that I have found in all my studies on, you know, marriage and family and Bible and my little parenting journey that I've already been on. I have read a lot of books, obviously, about parenting and marriage. It's what I do for a living, so, right, that's what I do. And here's my secret. You only need one book. And I'm guessing many of you know where I'm going with this, but it's what I call my secret weapon. But I'm hoping, I'm not going to stress you out about this, I'm hoping I'm about to make your lives a lot easier. Because what if we didn't have to read 100 self-help books, or listen to a million podcasts, or stress ourselves out about what is TikTok saying about motherhood right now? What if we only needed one thing, one book, one person? That's right, I got my prop. The Bible. I know, big surprise, that's where I'm going with this, but I'll get into it a little further as I share, but this is good news. It's good news. Anyways, my hope is, again, I'm gonna simplify your lives today and take off some of the pressure that I feel like as moms today that we have in our generation. I feel like we're supposed to be experts in all the things, and I have done work to become an expert in some of the things, and I still find that this is 99.9% what I go to in my family. And even when I work with clients, sometimes I don't tell them that's where I got my information from, but that's where I'm coming from. But first I wanna share a little bit about my background and my story as kind of like how did I go on my biblical journey? Like how did I learn about the Bible, my understanding of the Bible? I found that when we hear personal stories, like learning my journey, it helps us connect more and kind of resonate with the material. It's almost like we were created to connect with personal stories and narratives. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a book that was like mostly narrative and personal stories? Okay, I'm not gonna do that the whole time, but I just wanna point that out. Like, it's all stories. But anyways, I grew up in a Christian home. I did all the church things, Sunday school, VBS, Bible camp, youth group. My dad even went back to school when I was older and became a youth pastor so that he was my youth pastor. And then I decided to go to Bible college after high school because that was kind of what was expected of me. So I went to the same college that my dad had graduated from and my brother and his wife were currently attending. It was this tiny little Bible college. And so I got my bachelor's in psychology. And then I also got a certificate in biblical studies. Then following my undergrad, I decided to go to seminary. So I got my master's in marriage and family therapy, but then I also got, again, a certificate in theological studies, something like that. I forget what it is, but something like that. So anyways, it was right before I started seminary that I started to experience a change in kind of how I looked at the Bible and I understood the Bible. If you've been around for MOPS for a while, maybe some of the mentor moms, I know at least Laura, maybe Sharon, I shared my story several years ago. I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago. But basically, I went through a very difficult time. I had a professor in seminary, and he referred to these times. I've been through twice in my life, and I'm sure some of you are either in a time like that or have gone through a time like this. He called it a dark night of the soul. And I don't know, you guys, like, that has stuck with me for 20 years, because I feel like if you've been in one of those, that really resonates with you. And this was, I call it dark night of the soul, number one. So I'm trucking along, you know, skating along on, you know, biblical knowledge that I picked up from Bible college for sure, but also growing up in the church. I had this kind of general sense of how I viewed God. And I had this idea that life, if I just did a few certain things, like I followed a few rules, I was going to have a perfect life. Like God was going to bless my marriage. I was going to have great kids. Like things were kind of going to be easy for me. I just had to follow a few rules. Well, so I'm skating along and bam, I get smacked across the head. I was date raped in college, which is how I lost my virginity. And so my entire idea of God was shaken to the core, because I thought I would do my part and then he would do his. And then all of a sudden, I felt like God had allowed this terrible thing to happen to me, and then I felt like he abandoned me. I tried to make sense of what I was going through by thinking, okay, what do I know about the Bible? What do I know about God? But I kept falling through that he was angry at me. He's punishing me. And it was such a lonely, dark time for me. And again, I shared that story before. And for the sake of time, obviously I could go into a ton about what I learned during that time. But I'll just say it was 2 months before I was entering seminary. So I go into like learning all about God, and I had my whole idea of God had been shaken. But I feel like that was the first time in my life where I decided that everything I learned about God, I was going to apply to my life. I'm like, you know what? I need this right now. This isn't just going to be something that I know up here, this head knowledge that God is good and whatever. Like, I need to learn about this and figure out what does this mean for my life right now? A daily application. So I that was the first time I decided that I was going to let the Bible be a living word for me. And I think sometimes it's easy to hear my background. I just want to take a little side note and think, well, I don't have that kind of biblical training. Like, how am I supposed to incorporate Christ in my home or teach my kids about the Bible? But that's why I'm sharing this. Like, I had all this biblical knowledge. Like, it was literally a textbook in my classes. And yes, I'm happy for that. I'm definitely very thankful for that knowledge. But that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for me to go through this very dark time and not still feel abandoned, because I was still basing it on all these messages I heard. I wasn't studying it on a personal level. So the Bible's referred to as a living word, like I just said. And I realized that I knew so much about the Bible, but by not being in the word every day, I had forgotten to let it change my life. So I had all this head knowledge, but no daily application. So when I went through a difficult time, I really had very little to fall back on. So fast forward 7 years, now I'm in California. I'm from Minnesota, by the way. Sometimes my accent slips out, but I was in Minnesota during that time. So now I'm in California, I'm at PCC, and my husband and I decided we're gonna do a grow group. So not by accident, I don't think, but we end up in a grow group with everybody is 20 to 30 years older than us. It's like a couples group, and it was led by Dan and Betty Anderson, for those of you who know them. And I laugh because when we first walked in there, they're like, what are you guys doing here? You're like 30, I was 30-ish, and we were the ages of their children. And I think it was kind of like a general consensus that you got linked in a grow group that was kind of your cohort, right? Like, you know, if you're a younger family, you could put with younger families older. So they're kind of like, are we going to let these guys stay? And they did. I think we were there for 5 or 6 years, and it was amazing. Like, I mean, I was surrounded literally by, like, we basically got to sit there and have mentor couples every Wednesday. I mean, it was the most transformative times of our lives. But anyways, I think almost every woman in that group has been either a mentor mom at some point. Minor Owens, it was at her house. She started MOPS at PCC, her and her friend, whatever. But they were just like such, I basically had a room full of mentor moms at my disposal. It was awesome. But anyways, I remember like looking at these women, and they would be talking, and they would share about how they had this, like, just such a personal relationship, a daily walk. They would be like, yeah, you know, I was reading in my Bible, or I was praying today, and I felt like God was really speaking to me. And just the way, like, the grace that they exuded towards everyone around them, I was just so touched by that. And I remember thinking, you know, that's how I'm going to be when I'm in my 50s and 60s. Like, I'm going to be one of those women, you know, like, obviously. And then I think God kind of was like, what are you doing to actually become one of those women? You know, I don't think you're just going to wake up 60 years old and just be at a certain place in your walk without doing some work. And so that was a time, like, I really felt like God challenged me. And so I started a plan on the Bible app. I love the Bible app, by the way. I know some people really like, you got to do, I took this out of, I had to dust this thing off just to bring it as a prop, because I do everything on my phone. But anyway, so I took out, I did read through the Bible in 1 year. I don't think, again, it was by accident that during that year, I decided to step into becoming a mom, which is another story I could tell. But I had to go through 3 rounds of IVF, a failed round, a miscarriage, and then I got pregnant with twins. Then I had those twins. This is all in my first year deciding that I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. And I remember I finished up my year. I had to do a little catch-up because, again, I birthed twins. And I remember I was literally nursing them, and I finished up my year. I had to, like, do, like, a few days at a time to, like, finish my last month. And so they were, like, 1 month old, and I finished my first year. Now, again, oh, and by the way, if you're nursing, excellent time to get your Bible and quiet time in. You're stuck in a chair. Like, what else are you going to do during that time, right? You know you're scrolling your phones anyways. But anyways, I started. So my boys are now 9 and a half. So I have done a Bible app plan every year, and now it's been a decade. So I have done this for 10 years. And again, I'm not saying this just like, oh, I'm so cool. There's a purpose in where I'm sharing this. I will say there were years I didn't read the entire Bible every year. There were some years I did just the New Testament. And again, I'm not saying that you have to read the whole Bible every year. I know that can feel big. But even if it's just like one verse a day, you know, I think Pastor Mark one time spoke when I was doing MOPS, and he's like, take your phone to the bathroom and read a verse a day. You know you all do it anyways. And I'm like, so it's kind of true, right? I mean, you can find, right? I thought I had my phone, but it's over there. But I love the Bible app, by the way, because they have so many different plans. You can choose whatever you want. Like, if you want to spend 2 minutes a day, you want to spend 1 minute, you want to do 15, which is usually what I end up doing, you can do it. Okay, so have I noticed a difference in this decade of being in the Word? I also incorporated prayer during that time, in making a difference in how now I parent, because again, I became a mom right at the beginning of that, and how I live my life. Definitely, of course, right? And that brings me to Dark Night of the Soul, number 2. So this past summer, our family went through a very difficult time. I would say equally as bad as the first, which my husband's like, really? But I think for me, yeah, it really was. It was really over a couple years, but it really hit hard this past summer. So my husband was laid off 2.5 years ago from his bank job. At first, we're like, no big deal. You know, we've got savings. He'll get another job. He's got his own company. Now that he has all this time, he'll work on that. It'll take off. This is going to be great. God is good, right? Well, jump ahead 2.5 years, savings is gone, no job is to be had, and his company did not take off as we had hoped. So not to get into a bunch of financial talk, but this past summer, we literally, for the first time in my life, I had no idea how we were going to buy groceries or pay rent. We actually had to liquidate our lives, and if any of you know what that means you go through your house and your garage and you take pictures and you sell it on Facebook, like anything and everything that you can find. We talked about pawning my engagement ring. My parents bailed me out of that one. I had to go back to work full time. So again, in case you missed it, I am a homeschool mom. So I homeschooled all morning, and then I would do therapy for about 35 hours a week. At my computer, I did telehealth, and I was the only one bringing any money in. And so the entire financial burden was on my shoulders. And as well as I felt a lot of the momming, the childcare, the homeschooling, and the pressure that put on my marriage, on just my mental health. Like, I'm like, there's days where I was like freaking out internally, and then I'm like, so how are you doing? Tell me about your day. Like, you know, let me be your therapist. And I'm just like, Holy Spirit. How many times I prayed during these sessions, like, Lord, please just give me the words that this person needs to hear, because I have nothing. Like, and again, I love my clients. I think I did okay. Just so everybody knows, I think I got paid the money I deserved. So I'm not, you know, they're okay. But it was a very, very difficult time for me. And I think, honestly, one of the hardest things was saying no to my kids over and over. The things that they would ask you guys, just simple things like, can we have blueberries this week? And having to say it's not in the budget. And again, I know this is Orange County. We're not supposed to talk about money. But it really sucked. That's all I'm going to say. It really sucked. And the only reason I share this is because the difference in these two experiences for me, what was it like walking through a dark time when I had nothing to really fall back on? No daily discipline. Like, yeah, I had like these ideas about God that I had learned or picked up over the years, but the difference in that versus having a true habit of a spiritual discipline in my life. It is amazing the difference in those two experiences. Both for me, like I said, were equally as difficult as far as like a season goes for me. But in the first, I felt so alone and abandoned. I felt like I was just being punished by God. In the second situation, I definitely had a lot of doubts and difficulties. Is God really good? Because this really doesn't feel very good. Does God provide? Because it doesn't feel like he provides. But having to tell my kids no over and over again. And how do you talk about God when you've been praying for the same thing for 2.5 years and he's not answering? The questions that they had about why, like, what's going on? Why hasn't God given us money yet? And just the difficulty that I had with that. But I don't think I would have made it through that season. And praise the Lord, my husband is working again. He's making money. I'm coming through that season. Yay. I'm working less now. Yes. But anyways, it didn't matter what I felt like in the moment, because I had a truth, a daily reminder in my life. It kept me grounded in truth, and it provided comfort when I didn't know where life was going to go. So what does this have to do with creating a culture of Christ in our homes? You might be asking. I know I am. Don't worry. I am going somewhere with this. When my kids, again, they came to me with questions about why isn't God answering our prayers, questions that I had myself, I was able to respond with truths from his word, which not only helped my kids, but they strengthened my faith as well. The stories I could share about conversations I had that we had as a family during that time, it blows me away, the things that God taught us. Then there's no way I could have even entered into those conversations had I not been able to share God's truth when I was in such a difficult place in my life, if it not being for being in the Word every day and being in prayer every day. I did want to share just a couple quick examples. Again, I homeschool, so one of our classes is Christian studies. And so this was last year when we were still living in Mexico. By the way, we lived in Mexico for a couple years, but anyways. We were there, and I remember we got to Abraham and Sarah. And just like God makes this promise to Abraham, right? And to his wife that they're going to have a baby. And not only had they been praying for a really long time for this baby, now God says, I'm going to give you this baby. And then they still had to wait a really long time. And I remember my boys being like, we talked about how Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. And I remember them being like, whoa, like, look at what God did, and he was 100 years old. Like, and it just really spoke to them, this idea of us waiting. They were like, well, we can wait. We're only 8 years old or 9 years old. They're like, that's okay. God always answers prayers. It just sometimes takes a really long time. And that idea, though, too, that like what may seem impossible with man is possible with God. And so we talked a lot about that. Like when they would have doubts, I'd be like, guys, nothing's impossible with God. We're just waiting. His timing is perfect. And we would talk about Abraham and Sarah. Another thing was I was in my daily word, because even though I was having a rough time and feeling like I didn't always feel God's presence, I still kept up my habit that I had. I was in Matthew. And it was the verse I'm sure a lot of you have heard, but it was where two or more, you know, come and gather in my name, there I shall be also. Well, the verse right after that says, and whatever you ask for in my name, it shall be given. And I was like, wait a minute, I've got something I need to ask for here. So that morning, I went upstairs, I said, we've got two or more people in this house. We have a family of five. So we got together in our kitchen in Mexico, we held hands, and we went around and we asked in the name of Jesus Christ for God to provide. And we did that every day. We still pray every morning, even though now our prayers are starting to be answered. We still pray, and even, I have to share this morning we were doing our prayer. We don't always hold hands anymore, but just this morning, my kids, we were like, oh, let's do family prayer time, and my husband was like, oh, we should pray for mommy's speech, right? And my boys, my son comes up to me, and he puts his hands on me, and he says, I pray in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ that mom's speech will go well, and she'll really be a blessing to those women, and I'm like, is this 9-year-old, right? And then his twin brother says something similar. And just to keep it real, then my 5-year-old comes up and says, Mom, or Lord, I pray that mommy doesn't get angry at these ladies today. Okay, so just to keep it real, you know, I mean, you know, I do still have, you know, the same issues that we all have. But anyways, I'm like, thanks, Claire. I'm not angry at you, by the way. So her prayer was answered, but anyways. But yeah, just again, they did not pray like that before this season. And I would not have asked them to pray like that had I not been literally reading it in my Bible that morning. And now that my kids are older, they come to me with questions all the time. I don't know. Again, you guys, your kids are maybe still a little bit younger than mine, but I will say mine ask a lot of questions. And maybe part of it is because I homeschool, so like they're around me all the time. But they ask me about relationships, life experience, culture. I mean, I feel like now they have all these little friends in their neighborhood that they play with, but they'll come and like they'll be like, Mom, so-and-so said this at the park. What does that mean? And I'm like, oh, great, here we go, you know. But anyways, other topics that we've talked about, anxiety and fear, illness, the problem of evil, bullying, what does it mean to be a citizen and not of heaven and not of earth? I have talked with my kids through, again, I'm a child therapist, so I could talk a lot about anxiety and fear from a psychology perspective. I do it all day, right? But I didn't. With my kids, it's we pray over their fear. We talk about God giving them not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control, right? From 2 Timothy. My goal is always to try to answer my kids with a biblical truth from the Bible. Like I always think when they come to me with a question, what does the Bible say about this? And that's how I try to answer them. I even had a talk, this is again kind of funny, but I had a talk with my boys. They brought up, because again, they're 9 and they're almost 10. They had questions about sex ed. And so I was like, okay, here we go, right? And so I'm like, so my husband, I was like, Steve, you've got this, right? They're boys. And he's like, let's do it together. I'm like, fine. But anyways, I kind of love this stuff, so I understand why he asked me to help. But anyways, we were talking, and one of the boys' memory verses last year during homeschool was talking about where it's like Adam, where he shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and the two shall become one flesh. So I started saying that verse and then they repeated it because they have it memorized. And I said, what do you guys think one flesh means? And then we talked about, and then I got into biology and, you know, a little bit, but we talked about, and then my husband brought up, he's like, yeah, and you guys like one flesh? That's legitimate. Like if you started kind of like bringing up a theory, kind of like a purity conversation of like what happens when you bring, like when that one flesh is separated, it's very painful. That's not God's design. So again, like I'm teaching my kids sexual education from the Bible. And also there's times like, again, I'm not going to pretend that like every time they have a question that I always know the answer, but my goal is to answer from the Bible, and if I can't think of anything, then often we will bring it up at dinner with my husband to see, does he have anything he wants to add? Because I think it's also really important to incorporate our husbands in that. And then if we can't, then we'll look it up sometimes. Well, again, the Bible app, which again, I'm a big proponent of, they have a search button. And so I'll even type in, what does the Bible say about bullying? Or being, you know, younger siblings being annoying. It's amazing what, you know, again, Google, you can Google it too, by the way, but, you know, I don't know if I always trust Google, but you can. But anyways, the Bible app, you can search these things. So you don't even, it's not like you have to be an expert in all the topics, but just know that you can go and to find the answers. And again, there will come a day, unfortunately, and I think mine's coming sooner than I would like because my boys are going to be 10, when my kids will not come to me for every answer to every question. I know it sounds crazy because I've got such good answers, but I want them to know when they came to me for these tough questions, where did I go to get my answers? Was it psychology? Was it social media? Was it culture? Was it just something I pulled from something I'd heard my parents say? Or was it from the Word of God? Because again, my goal is then when they are adults and they start looking for, when they go through tough times, because unfortunately I have a feeling my kids, as much as I want to protect them, are going to have their own dark nights of the soul, where are they going to go for their answers? And my prayer is that they will know to go to the Word of God for their answers to their questions. I am going to share a few little resources because I'm supposed to be talking about how we do this in our home. So I have my favorite Bibles for the kids. But I just can't stress enough that we don't need 100 self-help books or to be experts in all things kids. Trust me, I am a child therapist. I literally, people come to me with these questions. But I have found that the answers that I have given my kids, when I have done it from a biblical perspective, the comfort that that has given them, the transformative power in that. And I feel like giving your children a biblical worldview of like, the problem of evil, like if they understand why bad things happen from a biblical worldview, you are giving them the greatest gift versus just saying, here, let's do some tapping, you know, or some deep breathing from cognitive behavior therapy, EMDR. Those are wonderful things, by the way. I mean, I do love those things, but I'm just saying, it's not the same as going straight to the Word of God. As Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. When you search my therapist profile, like if people are trying to decide if they're gonna go to me or not, I literally have that verse. I said, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And you know you can bill under therapy for insurance companies under bibliography, like it's like as a therapy. And I'm like, yes. I do build that, by the way. Anyways, and if we want to give the answers and point our kids to the Word of God, we as moms, we need to have a daily discipline of connecting with God, however that may look. Again, I'm not telling you have to, you know, I'm not going to stress you have to read the Bible an entire year. But I'm just saying, I think it was Susan Cram, my mentor. I was hoping she was here today. I didn't know she was back because I was going to ask her how that. She quoted this to me, and I forget exactly how it went, but I think it went something like, those who have experienced the gospel live the gospel. And I think that like as we as moms, if we are connected and being transformed by God daily, you guys, it's going to flow out to your kids. Like, it's so easy for me to talk about the Lord with my kids because that's all I'm ever thinking about because that's what I read it every day. And so I just, and again, I'm nothing special. You know, I'm not saying like I should get a gold star. I'm just saying I truly believe in this process. And I think if we as parents, if moms, if we did this more, instead of going outside resources and stressing ourselves out about all the things we should know, I think we would see a big difference in our kids. So, but anyways, okay, so these are our favorite little, I was gonna do a bibliography for you guys, and I didn't, because I haven't done one in 20 years, and I'm like, I don't know if I remember how. Anyways, but I'm just gonna, you can take a picture, just list. Again, you guys probably, again, one of my discussion questions for you are to share any fun resources you guys have, but I just wanted to share what I have done with my kids. So this, and you, these are very well loved, as you can see. These Bibles, they're like, you know, I promise I use these. Okay, so when my kids were really little, these are the two that we loved, and we would do before bed. Kids love to be read to, as I'm sure you all know. So what we would do is I would say, let each of my boys go grab a little book to read, and then we would finish with the Bible. Jesus Calling, I love because it has, their pictures are just, you know, kids love pictures. And so they're, they really loved the illustrations in this one. And it does end with a little Jesus Calling prayer at the bottom, but again, take it as you had. And then this is just, the Jesus Storybook Bible, which this is also very quick, by the way. You can read each day, I think, is less than 5 minutes. This is my favorite because I could do the Bible reading for them very quickly. We would get to the end and then we would just start over. And then this one, it is a little longer, but it is very much in a story format, which is kind of fun. It's almost like a once upon a time, like, so I don't know, the kids really resonated with that. Each little chapter, though, is a little bit longer. And they like the pictures. I thought they made the people look a little weird. I don't know, but, you know, take it whatever. Okay, this one is what I used for my kids kindergarten through second grade. They love this thing because look how huge it is, right? It's called the Story Bible as well, but you can probably find it on Amazon. But the reason I love it is because kids ask still to this day, they fight over who gets to take this to bed because they love looking again at the pictures, right? Because they're so great, the pictures in this guy. The reason I love it is you read a little, it's like 2 pages, and it starts introducing them to the idea of Genesis 4. Like, you know, like kind of like where it's found in the Bible, but it doesn't have verses, but it is similar language to the actual language. But say you read about this as Cain and Abel, then you get over here, they have like 2 or 3 little questions. To whom did Cain and Abel bring their gifts? What sad thing happened in the story, right? And then they have, if you want, they have a few little activities you could do. It just says it talks about God, Cain and Abel giving gifts, and it says decorate an envelope and fill it with your offering to God. Like, what would you want to give God? And then it ends with a prayer. So this was actually our school lesson for kindergarten, first and second grade. So this is my daughter's in this book right now. And again, I really love it because it keeps it very simple. And this steps them up, okay? Now, the last one is the Golden Children's Bible. I really love this one because it's one step under the actual full Bible. So my boys are in this one now, and it still does not have the chapters and verses yet, but it is the exact language is from the Bible. But like you get to like Leviticus, and you know how it's gonna talk about like a million laws and things. They do talk about that, but they simplify it where they make it very simple. And so it's like a nice stepping stone. But again, I wouldn't recommend this to like 3rd, 4th, 5th grader or for moms. That's what I'm saying, yeah, for you guys, yeah. And again, it doesn't have like Genesis and stuff. And then you go straight from this, they can go into like, you know, the whole thing with all the chapters and all the things. But again, the language is exactly how they would memorize it at church. You know, I think it might be King James, but yeah. Anyways, those are my favorites. Again, I gave you guys time to talk about if you have any favorites, but I don't think there's any hard and fast rules. I think as moms are really just leaning into God, I pray for discernment all the time. Wisdom, and it can be about anything. And it's amazing how my kid was sick the other day and I was stressing and I just was praying. And then I'm really into supplements, but I felt like this picture of a vitamin just came into my head, like, oh, that's what he needs. And I feel like that was from God, like just letting him guide me as a parent, little things like that. I'll be around, by the way, if you have any questions, because there's such a small group, you can grab me. But yeah, thank you for letting me come.